Hi, it's Wednesday, 12th February. I'm Hannah Pearson from Pear Anderson.
And I'm Gary Bauerman from Check In Asia.
Today, we'll be talking about coronavirus, Malaysia Matter Fair and other trade show postponements, AirAsia's Airbus troubles, and we'll take a look at tourism video marketing.
So let's get started. This is the Southeast Asia Travel Show.
Hello, wherever you are in the world, and thank you for listening in. Well, it's been another week dominated by doom and gloom in travel. So, Gary, how was your week and what did you get up to?
Well, I took a break. I went to Bali for a holiday.
Oh, so very nice.
It hasn't been too busy a week for me, but I was still on duty. I was still checking out what's happening in the region. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, I was in eastern Bali and had a nice trip, although it did rain a bit.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess you can make up for that with the beautiful views.
It was stunning. It was stunning. We were very, very lucky. The first night was one of the most beautiful sunsets I've ever seen. The rest of the week, it was a little bit cloudy and rainy at that time.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better.
But now we're back in KL. And we've had some rain here, actually, too.
Yeah, it's getting stormy again. Yeah, I like big thunderstorms.
There. Yeah, I love that rain. It makes everything so green and vibrant.
Dramatic.
And dramatic, too. And so you, what have you been up to? You've had some foot troubles.
Yeah, I've been a bit unlucky with my health this week. So, not only have I come down with a cold, but I also managed to...
Just a cold?
Oh, I hope so. Hopefully I'm not a super spreader. And I have managed to kick my foot, ended up in A&E last week with a suspected broken toe. So I've been hobbling around a bit. It's been all swollen. So, yeah.
Feeling better now?
Feeling better, yes. Just about. Hobbling around a little bit more. But we're done.
Good.
So, yeah. This week better be better, I think.
Good, right. Okay. So, as Hannah mentioned at the beginning, we've got four subjects to talk about this week. And obviously, one topic takes precedence.
Of course.
The coronavirus is the hottest of hot topics right across the travel industry and indeed across business at the moment. It's in completely dominating the media agenda.
Yeah.
And we found some statistics to talk about, and we're going to have a look at how it's affecting some of the countries here in Southeast Asia.
Yeah. I mean, so we were checking out Straits Times this morning, and the latest figures, this is 8 a.m. I'm sure it will be different by the end of the day already. 22 countries have been infected, plus China. There's been 44,852 cases and 1,113 deaths.
Yep.
And if we're looking at Southeast Asia, you've got Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia and Vietnam, Philippines all infected. Singapore, really the worst hit after China, 47 cases, Thailand 33, Malaysia 18, Vietnam 18 as well.
Yeah.
So it's really very much on the agenda here, I think, and everybody... is having conversations about this every day.
Yeah, and the focus has slightly switched. Now that the Chinese New Year holiday period is sort of receding into the distance a little bit, we're starting to see some of the figures come through, about the actual effects that this is having across the tourism industry, from the airlines to the hotels to the tour groups on the ground, and just to individual travelers as well. And some of the figures are quite stunning. OAG, which is a specialist in aviation information, published some statistics from China about the airline situation and how capacity from Chinese airlines has just dropped through the floor for a number of reasons. One, because airlines are cancelling flights in and out of China. Yeah. Also, some countries are actually instituting blanket bans for travellers, firstly from Hubei province, but now in some cases across China.
Yes.
And OAG has said that the last week was the largest dip in terms of international air capacity from one country in one week that it had ever seen.
Wow.
And some of the figures are astonishing. If you look, for example, at Japan, from the week of 20th of January, from the period 20th of January to 10th of February, flight capacities from China dropped 60%.
60%.
The figures in Southeast Asia are just as bad. Thailand, I think, was 63%. That's an astonishing figure. Yeah. You know, that's 6/10 of all air trade. Mm-hmm. Malaysia was badly hit. That was 35%.
Yeah.
Cambodia, 43%.
Mm.
And the problem with lost capacities is actually how the airlines are going to bring these back up as and when the virus is contained.
Mm.
The three big Chinese airlines have had a dramatic collapse in their air
capacity. Yeah.
During that period, China Southern Airlines capacity was down 79.7%, China Eastern Airlines was down 75.5%, and Air China was down 64.6%. Now, all those figures have a huge impact here in Southeast Asia because so many of those flights come in and out of the region.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and if you're looking at Cathay Pacific in Hong Kong as well, and then they've just told all of, how many staff, was it 28,000, 29,000 that they have to take voluntary unpaid leave as well.
For 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, and this is again an airline that Southeast Asia rely on to visit other countries. So whether that is a route over to Europe, whether that's the routing to East Asia or even to the US. So this is eventually going to have a huge knock-on effect.
And that's what we will be going through right now, is the effect of how these figures actually on the ground affect day-to-day operations.
Yeah.
In Malaysia, we've seen this week that figures have announced.
Yeah, I mean, so the president of MATA said 95,000 room bookings have been cancelled due to Chinese cancelling because of coronavirus, because people from Wuhan not allowed in. So that actually comes to about 40 million ringgit loss so far.
Which is astonishing. Penang has announced that it's seen a 40% drop in visitors from China, and that could reach up to 60%.
Yep. And then if we're looking at the Philippines, there was an estimate that there's losses of about 10 billion Philippine pesos just over Chinese New Year alone. It's a really serious effect.
Yeah, Singapore said, I think yesterday, that its visitor arrivals are down on average about 20,000 per day, 20,000 less arrivals per day. And the situation is so serious there. The Singapore Tourism Board has said that tourism will take a significant hit across the year because obviously the first quarter period is so important because it's the Chinese New Year travel period. And it's actually estimating that across the whole year, visitor arrivals could be down between 25 and 30% in Singapore.
Yeah, so I think
that's more than a quarter across the whole year.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to see, like you were saying, Gary, in your episode about the virus, we're going to see, you know, deep discounting from hotels and airlines to be able to get their numbers back up when there is an appetite for people to start traveling again.
Yeah, which is the key point, because at the moment the appetite, particularly in our countries, in Malaysia and in Singapore, the fear factor is still there. The fear factor actually for in daily lives, let alone for travel. Travel really has sort of fallen off the agenda as a priority right now.
Yes.
So a lot of this travel, although we're talking primarily about the big numbers from China, we're talking a lot about intra-regional travel.
Yes.
We're also talking about Malaysians or Singaporeans taking holidays further afield because there is just that fear factor right now.
There is. I mean, and I think that probably takes us quite nicely to our second topic, which is that MATA Fair, which is the biggest Malaysian travel consumer fair, and NATAS Fair, which is the Singapore largest travel show, have both been postponed.
Yeah.
So NATAS was scheduled to take place 21 to 23 February, so just in a couple of weeks' time.
Mm-hmm.
That's now been postponed to the beginning of May.
Mm-hmm.
And so has MATA Fair. So MATA Fair was mid-March, mm-hmm. and now again, it's the same dates, it's been postponed to 1 to 3 May. Now, the MATA Fair is a little bit controversial, I think, the date, and the date's still not completely confirmed, and that's because this new date falls over Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, if you're trying to schedule a consumer travel fair that's falling over Ramadan, you're kind of cutting off a lot of potential consumers who are thinking that they'd like to go visit.
Yeah. And the reasons given by both MATA and NATAS for postponing these events were quite similar. The NATAS president said that at this juncture of the virus crisis, it is certainly not timely to stage a travel event, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
And MATA said the adverse effects of recent travel bans and negative public perceptions have had a big effect on the Malaysian tour and travel trade, which are both true.
I mean, and I think it's quite interesting if you're looking at public perception. It's like we were saying, this is something really, it's the fear factor.
Yeah.
This event, especially in Malaysia, is meant to be happening mid-March. There's still not really, I think, enough of a basis to cancel it yet, just because this is really what props up the Malaysian travel agency industry, really.
Yeah,
MATA Fair March is the biggest one.
Yeah.
The airlines throw promotions. Travel agents try to fill up their kind of group leisure tour seats at that time.
Yeah.
Cancelling it or postponing it, as they're calling it, is really a big, big move.
Yeah, and we can't really understate how important these both events are to the domestic, to the travel trade. To the volumes of sales are huge.
Yes.
The numbers of people that attend are huge.
Yeah.
And they are big events. They, you know, they are part of the travel culture, in particularly here in Malaysia.
Absolutely.
But as you were mentioning there, you know, this fear factor is very much entrenched, not just in travel, but in the consumer sector.
Mm-hmm.
And we see these little trigger events like we saw in Singapore last week. The Singapore government has been pretty open and approachable to its people. But it made the decision to raise the alert level to orange.
Yes.
And that triggered panic buying in supermarkets. Yep. So these kind of events are real, that they're actually happening on the ground every day.
Yes.
And having a major travel event in the middle of that, as both Mata and Natas have said, it's just not viable.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting if you look at how other countries are handling it, because now is very much kind of travel fair season. So last weekend, we just had the PTAA Travel Mart, which is the one in the Philippines in Manila. So about 400 exhibitors there. Again, it's one of the largest ones in the Philippines. And that went ahead.
Right.
You know, they had hand sanitizer, body temperature checks at the entrances.
Yep.
But that went ahead, which I think was kind of interesting.
Right.
And Astindo, which is the travel fair that's held in Jakarta, that's also scheduled to go ahead as well, 21 to 23 Feb.
Right.
So you've got a kind of interesting mix of, yes, some of these outbound travel fairs are being cancelled in Malaysia and Singapore.
Yeah, and the big Vietnam fair, international travel fair, is a little bit later. I think that's at the beginning of April.
Mm.
Currently that's still on. And there is an alternative view, of course, that these events perhaps didn't need to be postponed. So, for example, the Association of Asia Pacific Airlines has said that the arbitrary restrictions and blank travel bans are unnecessary.
Yeah.
And that regrettably, some of these measures, while they are well-intentioned, seem to lack proper public health justification.
Mm.
So there is the argument that travel and tourism needs to continue, and actually the travel industry might need to change the narrative to encourage people to travel again.
Yeah.
Perhaps at the moment, feelings are a little bit too raw, emotions are quite high, it may not be the right time. So postponing, I think, personally, probably was the sensible decision right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that Malaysia just announced yesterday that they're going to be holding a new fair called Cuti Cuti Malaysia, which is like traveling around Malaysia, which is encouraging domestic travel. Yeah. So that will be in April.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see the outcome of that, how many visitors attend. And kind of gauge that of what could have been.
Was that agreed as part of Visit 2020 year, or is this just brand
this,
new?
This is a brand new brand event new that they've brought out because they're cancelling Mata Fair in March.
Right,
because Mata Fair in March covers both domestic and international tourism.
Yeah.
So this is specifically to encourage more domestic tourism within Malaysia, and they said to help existing travel agencies kind of reconfigure their mix and offer more domestic products. So I guess in an attempt to make up some of those lost earnings, these travel agencies.
Well, let's hope it works. I mean, we'll support it. We'll go along and visit. I mean, the other primary issue at the moment is postponing into May. Is that at the moment it is just unknown how long this virus crisis is going to extend. A leading Chinese epidemiologist this week said that he believes that it will stabilize by April. And then we should start to see the virus deaths and the infections reduce quite considerably. But that's still April.
Yeah.
Having said that, I was watching TV yesterday and an analyst in Hong Kong said that stock prices and currency prices in Hong Kong are going to be priced accordingly, that the effects could run to June.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it?
So that takes out the first unknowns. The half of the whole year.
Yeah. So if we move on to our third topic, the hot topic that's going on at the moment, and this is kind of unraveling, unfolding in Malaysia, but equally will have an effect throughout Southeast Asia, is AirAsia. So Gary, do you want to tell us a bit about what's going on with AirAsia?
Yeah, well, this is a huge story. And had then the coronavirus not been taking the media agenda, I think we'd be hearing a lot more about AirAsia's troubles. Basically, this relates to a case in the UK on the 31st of January, where AirAsia was named in a case against Airbus, which is the European aircraft manufacturer.
Okay.
And Airbus has been investigated by authorities in France, UK and the US for allegedly paying bribes to airlines for them to purchase their aircraft.
Okay.
This dates back to the early part of the last decade, so between about 2010 and 2015.
Mm.
But the statements that were read out in court did not name the AirAsia executives, but it said AirAsia Executive 1 and AirAsia Executive 2 that were implicated in this bribery scandal. Two or three days after that court case, Tony Fernandez, who is the CEO of AirAsia, and the executive chairman, Kamarudin Merenun, both stepped down from their positions at AirAsia, initially for a period of 2 months. There's going to be an internal review from AirAsia. But this case has now also been taken up by three investigating authorities in Malaysia. So I'm pretty sure that this story is going to run and run and run. It has a huge implication for the air industry in Asia, because AirAsia is the biggest low-cost carrier in the region. It has also been badly hit by the coronavirus, because it has a huge exposure to China. So at the moment, the situation for AirAsia is a bit gloomy. The share price did go down quite considerably last week. And until the results of these investigations come through, it will be a period of great uncertainty.
Yeah, I mean, we were, you know, we were saying earlier, Tony Fernandez is really AirAsia. AirAsia is Tony Fernandez. So, you know, if Tony Fernandez, let's say, if he doesn't return as CEO, what does that mean for AirAsia? Is it still going to carry on being the innovative airline? And they don't even want to call themselves an airline anymore. What do they want to call themselves? It's like a,
the Amazon of travel, I think.
Yeah.
The Amazon of travel in Asia.
You know, who is going to pioneer that? Who is going to push that vision through? And I think a lot of this very much comes from, you know, from Fernandez himself. He's very passionate about technology and everything else. If he goes, is AirAsia going to be the same?
I mean, I totally agree. I think analysts are also saying this as well, that he's a great he's a great self-promotionist, but he's been brilliant for the brand. I mean, he always wears clothing or baseball caps that promote the brand. And actually, this story relates to that, because the payments that were allegedly made relate to Tony Fernandez and Kamarudin's ownership of a Formula One team called Caterham. And some of these sponsorship funds, allegedly from Airbus, went into Caterham. Now, both the executives that have stepped down said that Caterham only ever was a marketing vehicle for AirAsia. And if you look at the photographs of the racing cars, they did have a lot of AirAsia, and they also had a lot of Airbus signature and logos across them. So this case will run and run and run. But you're absolutely right. This is quite a pivotal time for the airline, because it is really moving away from being just an airline.
Yes.
It wants to do a lot of different stuff in the new digital technology and the new digital economy. And Tony Fernandez has been the cheerleader for that.
Yeah. So watch out what happens with this, I think, in the next
I don't think this story is going to develop too quickly, because these investigations take time. They have to be rigged, and particularly the board of AirAsia will, I think it's now appointed independent analysts to help take them through this process. But it's going to be a difficult time. And for Malaysia, this is, you know, the part of the capacity that we've enjoyed over the capacity growth we've enjoyed since 2001 has been down to AirAsia's ability to launch new destinations, cheap routes, high frequencies.
Yes.
It's really transformed the outbound and inbound industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it would be the same without it.
No, totally agree.
So let's lift that doom and gloom with a much more positive tourism story from Southeast Asia.
Yeah, this we are encapsulated in doom a little bit at the moment, but but a nice story from Bangkok, which happened at the end of January, was the second Asian Destination Film Awards. Now, they're little known, not particularly well known, but they basically show that tourism marketing is really moving into the video era, and it's really starting to innovate in the way that it uses video content, not just to promote destinations, but to promote other issues as well in tourism. And this, these tourism awards, which this year was the second time they were held, celebrates video marketing in five different segments across the industry. So it has awards for the best tourism board video, the best travel industry video, the best filmmaker video, so independent, user-generated content, which is nice. So that gives travelers themselves an opportunity to get their videos
absolutely
recognized. And probably quite an important one is that the fifth category is sustainable tourism, which, you know, is such a very, very on-point issue in the travel industry right now.
Especially.
So for the second year, there were 1,000 videos were submitted to these awards, and they were whittled down into 34, a short list of 34.
Yeah.
And there were 7,000 votes to actually create the winners.
Nice.
Which were announced on January the 30th in a ceremony in Bangkok.
Yeah. And these videos are really nice. So I took a look at some of the tourism board categories, and actually Tourism Malaysia won the tourism board category voted by the judging board.
Congratulations to them.
Well done, Malaysia. Malaysia Boleh, as they say. And this, it's a really lovely video, actually. It's very evocative, shows off both West and East Malaysia. So you've got all of the beautiful wildlife of Borneo, and you've got the kind of metropolis of KL and Penang. But what I think really actually came out for me across many of these tourism board categories and videos was a focus on food.
Yeah, right. Oh,
there was some delicious looking food in a lot of these videos. You know, you had really fun ones like Discover Thainess, which is all about eating Thai food and doing Thai things. You had really beautiful travel industry ones. So one of the winners is Shintamani Wild, which is Cambodia, which is a luxury boutique accommodation in Cambodia, and Rosewood Luang Prabang in Laos. And both of these, again, they really showcased the accommodation itself. Obviously, they're, you know, produced by these accommodation people, so you would expect that. But also the culture you can expect whilst living there, and it kind of goes beyond the properties themselves. You know, it's that culture, it's that interaction.
I would agree. I think the level of creativity, the level of diversification, and the level of ingenuity in these videos is we've watched some of them. We'll actually post on our Facebook site, the website, so you can go and look at them. Because they are, some of these are beautiful. And the Malaysia one really, really was quite special. And it actually, when you look at the destinations that it beat out to win this award, it makes it even more impressive. I think Incredible India's video ranked second, and Incredible India is, that's also a very, very clever video.
It is, yeah.
Philippines, Japan, and Indonesia and Singapore were also on the shortlist. So congratulations to Malaysia. That's some achievement. I was also looking at the sustainable tourism category, which is, you know, obviously something that's quite close to our hearts. And those videos were a mixture of tourism boards from across Southeast Asia doing quite interesting videos that on specific subjects that that highlight the range of issues that come under the sustainable tourism umbrella. So there was one about a day in a Buddhist temple in Luang Prabang. There was an in-flight movie from Tourism Palau, which was very interesting. So, you know, let's hope that these awards will gain a lot more coverage next year in their third year. They are building from a relatively small base. But this is a great idea, and this really, really supports tourism boards to innovate a little bit more in future and use their content in different ways. It also helps travelers to engage with the visual side of tourism, which is so important right now.
It is. You know, and I think a special shout out actually to one of my favorite ones was Vietnam Airlines safety video.
Right.
And this actually, it won the public choice of in the travel industry category. And it was so fun, actually. So it's not your typical flight safety video where they're all on the plane. They're saying that, you know, use your fasten your seat belts, put your luggage up in the overhead compartment. But they're actually walking through a little town in Vietnam as they're doing it. I think just that recognition of actually, you're on the airline, but the airline is part of, you know, it's representing the whole country. Is something really special. So I think you're right. If this could lead to more innovative, you know, marketing, both from tourism companies and tourism boards, I think it can only be a good thing.
And we do live in the very visual sort of selfie and short video generation. And one of the things that comes across from watching a lot of these videos is the use of drones now, drone photography, which obviously for tourism boards significantly lowers the cost of doing aerial photography. I mean, you used to have to send up a helicopter, which is high cost. But now you can have drones, and it really enables them to develop more content. You can actually also bring in more rural areas, which are inaccessible to visitors on foot. So there's a lot of areas for continued creativity, and I really hope that these awards go from strength to strength, because I think it's a
it's fantastic.
It's a great part of the industry. So that, Hannah, brings us towards the end of our show.
It does. So, I mean, we hope some of the themes we discussed this week really resonated with you and your work in travel and tourism. And of course, we always love to hear your thoughts, experiences, comments on what we were talking about too. So you can drop us a note on Facebook at the SEA Travel Show, Twitter at SEA Travel Show, and Instagram at SEA Travel Show.
And we're also on LinkedIn as well at the Southeast Asia Travel Show. And our new website is nearly finished.
Nearly.
Hopefully we'll be up next week.
Yes.
And we've got a couple more very exciting things to tell you about also next time.
So that's a wrap for this week. Have a great week, and we look forward to talking Southeast Asian travel and tourism again with you very soon.
Bye-bye.